I don't know about you, but I'm wanting to keep on holding on. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you can help me with this volume tonight a little bit. Don't get it too loud, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm catching a bug, or I don't know if I just got a little bit of the holiness croup. Amen. I know I sure dug in here last night and might have stripped the gear. Amen. But praise God, we're going to try to obey the Lord tonight anyhow. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And appreciate everything that you've done for us this week. May the Lord bless you. I tell you, man, if you missed last night, you missed a good one. Amen. The Lord was really here helping us last night. And but I believe that the Lord can help us again tonight. Amen. Praise God. And just want to let Him do a work in our lives tonight. I want you to open your Bibles tonight to the book of St. Matthew in the Old Testament. St. Matthew chapter 17 tonight. Men, keep your Bibles open, because I'm going to be going to Luke's Gospel also. I'm going to be going to Luke's Gospel for a companion passage, Luke chapter 9. You may want to just stick something, a piece of paper in there to hold that place, but I'm going to begin here in Matthew chapter 17. Amen. Do you love the Lord tonight? We have thoroughly enjoyed it. This is the first time we've ever been to Martinsville. And I'll tell you, man, it's a beautiful country, and we certainly found a lot of people that we have fell in love with, and mighty fine people, and you've been very hospitable to us, and we appreciate all that you have done for us. Amen. I know Sister Judy, man, she's been cooking up a storm over there. I mean, every afternoon she's got a real fine meal prepared for us. And I tell you, I believe I've gained a pound or two since I've been here. I got to go home and go on a diet. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Matthew chapter 17. I want to begin reading in verse 1 here. And of course, keep your Bibles open tonight through the course of this message. Matthew chapter 1 or 17, verse 1. If you'd like to stand for the reading of God's Word, feel free to do so. Amen. If you found that place, say amen. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. And then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I know if this is really not in the context of what I'm going to be preaching on for just a little while tonight, but I can't pass over it without kind of grabbing a nugget out of these scriptures here tonight. Peter, James, and John going up into the mountain there. Jesus is transfigured. And while they're seeing this great supernatural work, a divine work that's going on, the Apostle Peter pipes up and says, Hey, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for Elias, one for the Lord, one for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for the Lord here. And while he was yet speaking, that voice out of heaven, God the Father, I've often taught our girls, and my wife teaches our girls, not to speak when someone else is talking, because that is rude. That's ill-mannered. And while Peter yet spake, the Bible said, God spoke out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." Amen. You know, there's a time that we need to be quiet and listen to what God has got to say. Amen. They always told me you got two ears and one mouth. That means you ought to listen twice as much as you talk. Amen? Praise God. And that voice spoke to Peter, said, "Hey, Peter, you need to be quiet here. God's trying to do something here. You need to listen to him and be quiet, Peter. Shut up, Peter, and listen to what thus saith the Lord." And as they seen him there, notice here, the Bible said that when this great supernatural work was over with, verse 8 it said, "And when they had lifted their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only." You know, there'd be a lot of people that wouldn't be backslid and on their way to hell if they'd have just adhered to that one verse right there. If they'd have really got their eyes on Jesus and Jesus only. Amen? There's a lot of people, you know, it's so easy for people to follow man, but that's a dangerous thing to do, because men at their best, and the best of men, will let you down. I said men at their best, and the best of men, they will let you down. But I declare unto you, Jesus Christ has never failed. Hallelujah, he's never lost the battle. Amen, he's faithful, and he'll keep us if we'll just keep our eyes on him. Amen, glory to God, hallelujah. But I'm not going to preach on that tonight. I want to go back up to the first part of chapter 17. And I just want to look here and kind of take my time here with these first couple of verses. And I want to preach to us tonight a simple message. Brother Bill was all over my message tonight. Brother Bill Prescott was talking about prayer. And I just want to talk with us a little while about prayer and the power of prayer. I want to preach a little while on being transfigured while praying. Amen. I mean transfigured while praying. Praise God. And how many of you know that when the change comes most of the time, it's when we're praying unto God. Hallelujah. Amen. Prayer is the nerve that moves the arm of God. Prayer is the nerve that moves the arm of God. Praying and prayer will keep us from sinning. Sinning will keep us from praying. I said praying will keep us from sinning, but sinning will keep us from praying. I don't know about you, but I want to keep praying so that I don't start sinning. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible said, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart." After 6 days, if you'll actually study, you'll find out Jesus was not doing any miracles during the 6 days. He was not being surrounded by the great crowds, but Jesus had withdrawn himself. He had pulled himself back into a high mountain, knowing that he was fixing to face the cross, knowing that he had a great laborious work ahead of him in giving his life as a ransom. Jesus had pulled back, and for 6 days he had been alone and communicating with God. He had been alone with his heavenly Father. And I got news for us tonight. There's something to be said about getting alone with God. And I know that we live in the computer age. I know that everybody has a cell phone on their hip. And I know that we live in a time when there's so much going on and so much running to and fro, but we still have got to take time to be whole. We need to get away and push things out and get along with God in the closet. And I believe that if we get along with God, God will reward us. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Here, those disciples, Jesus in that prior chapter has been telling them. He's been telling them about the great death that he's got to die. He's telling them about the sacrificial death of how that the good shepherd is going to be smitten and the sheep are going to be scattered. And those disciples, even the apostle Peter rebuked him and said, "No, Lord, you're not going to do it." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Get behind me, Satan." In other words, Peter, this is the reason that I came. This is the reason that I came, is to give my life a ransom. I'm going all the way to the cross. But nevertheless, it brought grief into the hearts of those disciples. It brought discouragement. You remember that they left the nets of the Galilean Sea. I mean, they left their occupations. They walked away from the things that they had been doing for a living. And they left all, and they were following Christ. And now he's looking at them and saying, "I'm fixing to be killed. I'm fixing to die the death." And it discouraged them. And they felt like giving up. They didn't know which direction to go. How many times have you ever been discouraged and you didn't know which direction to go? Oh, Jesus is telling them, here is the solution. Here is the remedy. We need to go to the mountain and pray. Hallelujah to God. Glory to God. And the Bible said, in the midst of this gloom and in the midst of this sorrow, upon the sad note here, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, and he taketh them, notice, I got it underlined here, he taketh them into a high mountain. Notice, he could have carried them on a rolling hill, but he carried them up into a high mountain so that they might get away from every distraction that might be around them. Notice, don't you remember when Elijah, he went up into the top of the mountain, and there is where he prayed. I mean, God could have heard him in the valley, but Elijah went up on the mountain and he prayed one time, and the servant came back and said, "There is nothing." How many times have you ever prayed and there was nothing? I mean, he came back again. He said, "What is it? What did you see?" He said, "There's nothing. There's nothing." Seven times. But on that seventh time, he said, "I see this a little cloud, the size of a man's hand. Praise God." And out there on that mountain, alone with God, he got a prayer through. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Up in that high mountain, there alone. And you know what God wants us to do? God wants us to come up to a high mountain. God wants us to leave the things. He wants us to cut the phones off. He wants us to get away from all of the hustle and the bustle of life and get along with God so that we can hear his voice again on an altar of prayer. Hallelujah. Transfigured while praying. Amen. I mean, the beauty of getting way up in that mountain is there's not any distractions there. I tell you, man, if you ever go to praying around the house, that's when company will show up. You ever try to pray around the house, that's when the phone will start ringing. You ever try to pray around the house, that's when all types of calamity will start going on. But, oh, man, if you get to that place. Man, we went up into the Yosemite National Park this summer, had revival out there on the West Coast, went up into the top of that Yosemite National Park, and there's what they call Glacier Point, big old high mountain up there on the Half Dome Rock, and I was looking at those big waterfalls, and I was looking at the beautiful mountains, and after a while, I took those binoculars, those powerful field glasses, and looked way down in the valley. It looked like little tiny houses, it looked like little small cars. I didn't even know there was down there. Man, I tell you, there's a place, young people, that you can get in, God. You don't know who's around you. You don't know who's listening. You're alone with God. And that's where God wants you to be, in that place of prayer. And he can transfigure your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Transfigured while praying. In that place of discouragement, Jesus said, we need to go to the mountain and pray. We need to get along. I mean, it's already worked for me. What you need? I mean, those disciples are ready to throw in the towel. And Jesus said, let's go. Let's go to the mountain and pray. Amen. I want you to go with me now. Look in Luke's gospel. Tells the same story. Luke chapter 9. And let's look in verse 28. Luke chapter 9 and verse 28. Amen. Found that place? Amen. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these things, he took Peter and John and James, and he went up into a mountain to pray. Same story. The only thing, the Gospel of Luke here, it sheds just a little different light on it than the book of Matthew and the book of Mark. Notice what Luke says. Luke said, and as he prayed. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. You know, I like what Luke has to say when the other Gospels say that Jesus chose those 12 disciples. Luke's Gospel said that after a night in prayer, Jesus chose those 12 disciples. He didn't just run out and say, any, many, mighty, more, but in a night of prayer with his heavenly Father, he chose those 12 disciples. I'm telling you, Jesus was a man who prayed. Hallelujah to God. Oh, yeah, hear me. Those other Gospels will tell us about Jesus down by the River Jordan being baptized. Where the heavens opened up and the dove, a bodily form like a dove descended, landed on his shoulder. Symbolic of the Holy Ghost. There came a voice out of heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. There is the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. It's a beautiful setting there. Jesus standing in the edge of that Jordan, the forerunner, John the Baptist, baptizing. But I like what Luke says. Luke says that John baptizing Jesus, and him being baptized and praying. Jesus didn't just go down in the water, but he went down in the water talking and communing with his heavenly Father. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, prayer is the key to heaven. Prayer is what we need to do again on the altars of God. Hallelujah. He said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Amen. The other Gospels talk about Jesus as he paid that supreme sacrifice, as he gave his life as a ransom. All of those other Gospels talk about, that old rugged cross. I like what Luke said. Luke said that while they were casting in their teeth, while they were saying, if you be the Christ, come down and save yourself. And Luke said, him being on the cross, he prayed, my God, he said, have mercy. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even with the nails driven through his hand, Jesus was praying on the cross. Hallelujah. Prayer, man. I mean, prayer got us to where we are now, and prayer get us on home. I mean, prayer is what we need to do again. I'm telling you right now, there wasn't a piano on the day of Pentecost. But like Brother Kyle said last night, there was men and women praying, and God sent the Holy Ghost when men pray again. Hallelujah. Oh, to God. And then Luke, once again here, Luke says, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. I mean, it was while he was praying. I mean, a lot of people think that Jesus just went up there on the top of the Mount of Transfiguration and it just all happened. But Jesus wanted those disciples to look and see that it was only as we pray that things are changed. It is only as we pray we are changed. Amen. I know we hear that saying, prayer changes things. Yes, it does. But a lot of times prayer is not changing the things on the outside, but prayer is trying to change the things on the end. God wants to change you and me. Amen. Praise God. You know, prayer, there's those three levels of prayer, man. We come to the altar and we begin to, a lot of times, go through repetitious things. We begin to pray the prayers that we know to pray. A lot of times, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's just the truth. I guess you got to start somewhere. We just start with words and start praying all the way. I mean, I think it's good. When I go to the altar, a lot of times I repeat the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. I mean, I think that's good, but man, that isn't good enough. I think you got to get on to that second level of prayer where you start being made awesomely aware that God is listening to you. I mean that God's really hearing what you have to say. That's when you start communicating with God and you enter that realm of prayer where you start forgetting who's beside you. You start really forgetting about whether somebody's listening to you or not, and you start getting lost in God. And then you can enter into that third realm of prayer where you just lose sight of everything and you don't want to get off of the altar. You just want to stay there and communicate with God. That's when you really start to pray. I remember when I was seeking the Holy Ghost. I was digging. I didn't know what else to do. I was fasting. I was praying. Man, I'd go to church. There was times I wouldn't get off the altar 12 and 1 o'clock in the morning. God's my witness. There was times that I prayed to a place. Sister Judy, I didn't even know what church I was in. I forgot what church I was at. I got so lost in God when I come up off the altar and look around and try to remember what church I was in. I'm really getting somewhere with God. Hallelujah. Now, I remember I got lost in the Holy Ghost that night. God filled me with the Holy Ghost at a little old white country church back up in the sticks near a little small town, man. We got in that place packed, cram-packed in that place. Had old wooden floor, old wood seals in it. Man, the Holy Ghost fell in that place. Man, I fell to seeking the Holy Ghost. I had some prayer warriors praying with me. They grabbed the whole time. My wife was playing the piano. She said she had to get up and move the piano stool a couple of times. It was vibrating across the floor. I thought the little church was going to cave in. But man, what a move of God! God filled me with the Holy Ghost while I was praying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! It happens when we pray. Man, I wish I had a voice and could preach this thing like I'm feeling it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Notice here, Peter and James and John are looking at Jesus. And the Bible said, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. Now, I know maybe you're probably ready for me to quit preaching now, but I got a couple things I want to tell you here. Prayer will change your countenance. Prayer will change your attitude and your actions. I know in the holiness ranks that a lot of times we don't really associate our attitude and our actions with holiness. But you hear me, good sanctification, it'll take care of that old Adam nature. You'll stop kicking the dog. You'll stop kicking the cat. I believe it'll take care of the way you talk and treat your neighbor. Hallelujah. The Bible said Simeon, he was a just man, and he was a devout man full of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said the Holy Ghost was upon him. But that just describes, I know that devout describes that vertical relationship with God, but that just talks about how you treat your neighbor. Amen! I believe if you really get this thing right, it'll cause you to keep your checkbook right. It'll cause you to treat your neighbor right. Well, glory to God. I said his countenance was changed. Man, I tell you what, there's some people, man, you take a dollar from them and they'll turn red, man. I mean, they're ready to fight, man. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's some people, man, you look at them wrong. I mean, you can just slightly disagree with them. I mean, they almost ready to roll their sleeves up, put you one in the nose. I mean, oh, yeah, but you hear me. I believe that God's Holy Spirit, when it dwells within you, it'll make you meek and humble. I believe it'll take care of that old Adam nature. Hallelujah to God. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. I'll shout myself. Praise God. I said his countenance was altered. It took care. Now, I know Jesus didn't have problems, and that's not what I'm trying to say. But what I'm trying to say, I think Jesus was showing those disciples an example. If you really get here and you pray, it'll change who you are. I know Jesus was displaying his glory. I know he was taking on that divine nature that those disciples had never seen before. And you say, well, that was just Jesus. We can't be Jesus. I remind you about that deacon called Stephen. When he stood before that Sanhedrin, he was a man that had prayed, and they looked at him, and his countenance was like that of an angel. You can pray until God changes who you are and what you are. Hallelujah to God. Praise God. And it's while you pray that you're changed. Glory to God. Hallelujah to God. Amen. You know what? There's times, man, I get all sideways. There's times that I get irritated. There's times that I get aggravated. There's times that the piano just don't sound right. There's times that the singing just don't sound right. I mean, the temperature ain't right. I mean, the lights ain't right. You know what? A lot of times I found the problem ain't around me. The problem's me. And when I get on in order and pray, it changes me. Glory to God. Prayer will change. Hallelujah. Not only that, I want you to notice something else here. Not only did it change his countenance, but it said in his raiment was white and glistening. His raiment was white and glistening. It made a difference in his appearance. Amen. You say, man, what in the world are you pulling all this stuff out of here? I'm telling you, his appearance, his garments were changed after that he prayed. And I'm telling you right now, you show me somebody that will really pray. You show me somebody that will really get in my orders and dig with sweat and tears and honesty and a broken and a contrite spirit. And they'll get in this book right here. I'll tell you what God's Spirit will do. It'll cause you to walk in modesty of appearance. It'll cause you to be holy when you realize that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Prayer will change the way you dress, honey. Praise God. I had a good preacher friend of mine. Amen. Lord, give me my voice, man. I feel like I'm going to explode here. I got a whole lot in me that won't come out right. Praise God. Had a good preacher friend of mine told me a young man got saved, man. Said the boy really got saved on the altar. I mean, he didn't know a whole lot about holiness. He said he seen the boy uptown one day. Said the boy had a tank top shirt on. I mean, dressed not according to holiness. He started to go after him. He started to tell him, man, you don't need to be dressed. He said, but the Spirit checked him and said, just give me time. He said it was probably 2 or 3 weeks later. I mean, the Spirit of God was moving. He said that old boy was a digging in the altar. He said that boy was a digging, man. He was praying. You know what God was doing? God was talking with him on the altar. Hey, God knows what he's doing. And prayer will transfigure and change you and I. He said about 3 weeks after that, the old boy been praying, said the boy come to him and said, Pastor, I want you to forgive me. He said, I ain't never heard this. He said, I hope you don't think I'm crazy. He said, I put that tank top on yesterday, which was Saturday, started to go uptown, looked at myself in the mirror. He said, the Spirit of God spoke to me, said, you don't need to be wearing that, boy. Hey, how did it happen? It happened while he was praying. He was transfigured by the power of God. But there's a lot of people that don't want to change. There's a lot of people that don't want to turn loose those old hard feelings in their heart. There's a lot of people that don't want to forgive. There's a lot of people that don't want to change the way they dress. They don't want to change the way they act. They don't want their nest to be ruffled. I mean, they don't want nobody about. They're happy with the way they are. But I'm telling you, God's always calling us to a higher place. He's always wanting us to go higher. And the way God changes us is on an altar of prayer. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God. Jacob saw a ladder. You ever wonder why Jacob saw a ladder? I'll tell you what a ladder's made for. It's made for stepping up. Man, when you need to get up to that ceiling there, you need a ladder. And I mean, when God came down and those angels descended and ascended on that ladder, I wonder why God swung that ladder down. I tell you why. Because He always wanting us to climb higher. He's always wanting us to do more, to go higher. We got too many people staring up the steps and not stepping up the stairs. God wants somebody to climb and dig their way to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. I want somebody to come to the piano. Sister Vicki or Sister Judy, I'm getting ready to close here. But his countenance was altered, his raiment. In other words, he was changed. But it happened while he was praying. My pastor, Brother Clyde Chan, he's from the island of Trinidad. He was a Roman Catholic all of his life up until he was about 22 years old. He served as an altar boy in the Roman Catholic Church. And he came to our church one night many years ago. The Holy Ghost was moving. I mean, we was having church that night, Brother Bill. And Brother Clyde, old Catholic boy, come in there. Man, his eyes was blaring. He had never seen nothing like that. Scared him slim to death, man. He's like a fish out of water, man. He didn't know what to do. I thought to myself, said, man, that old boy won't be back, man. He was like a fish out of water, man. He won't. You know what? That Sunday night he came back. I said, great heavens, look at here. Come back. And guess what? That Sunday night, old boy made his way to the altar and got saved. Hallelujah, God. He told me after, he said, man, he said, I thought these people was crazy. I said, God, if you help me get out of here, I'll never come. They was speaking in a heavenly language. A rolling around the voice. He said, man, I got to get out of here. But man, something pulled him back. And when he came back, he went to the altar and prayed. While he was praying, God saved him. And his testimony was this. He said, man, they told him, said, man, you need to go and get sanctified. You need to go and receive the Holy Ghost. I mean, there's gifts of the Spirit. You got to go. And he said, he told me after, he said, man, I thought to myself, man, there's one thing about it. I ain't never going to roll in the floor like that. I ain't never going to scream and holler like that. He said, I want the reserved kind. But you know what? While he was praying, God changed his mind. That old boy that caught him going up under the pews, man, I thought he was going to kick the pews for him out of the church. Man, that boy got a hold of something, and that's been about 25 years ago, and he's still anchored in Christ. It happened while we pray. Hallelujah to God. Whew. Sister, place off right here. Let me tell you this. I got to tell you this. I know you're probably not getting much out of this with my voice the way it is. I don't know. I'm having a good time. Praise God. I remember when I first got saved. I mean, I really got saved. I was in sin. I really got saved. I felt the burden of sin lift off my life. And they told me, they said, boy, you need to go and get sanctified. So we just believe in a second definite work. Now, I'm not here to tell you when you get sanctified, you're sanctified forever. I believe you daily got to crucify yourself on the altar of self-surrender. Amen. But I believe there can be a place that God sanctifies you. If you're having a problem and you can't get over something, I believe God can give you definite victory at a definite place. Hallelujah. And I was like anybody else. I mean, I got saved, but I had some issues. I had some things I was wrestling with. Man, I went to seeking God. I went to fasting and praying. And man, you know what? I mean, I had a little bit of pride in me. I mean, there was a little bit of thing that was bothering me, man. Man, back then, man, listen to me now. I'm not preaching against mustaches. You listen to me. I am not condemning nobody with a mustache, but I had me a cute little mustache. I'm telling you what I had now. And there was a little bit of pride that went along with my mustache. I kind of groomed that little thing and comb it, you know. Trimmed that thing up. And I just, it's me now. I'm not saying if you got one, you got pride. I said mine had some pride along with the package. And I got to digging on that altar, and I was digging that thing, God saying, and God started speaking to me about that thing. Man, I went to the scriptures and I said, man, I was digging through there. I asked some people, I said, man, I don't find no scripture in there. I mean, gee, they plucked Jesus' beard. I mean, I can't find no scripture in there. Said, I can't have a mustache. I was wrestling with that thing. I said, man, you know, man, but I tell you what, on that altar, at night in a little town called Lake City, man, I was digging for a sanctification. Man, I tell you, God come there. I don't know why I did it, but I said, God, if you will sanctify me, I'll save that thing up. Man, I felt something run through me. God sanctified me while I was praying. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But it happened while I was praying. God changed my mind. He transformed me while I was praying. That's why a lot of people won't stay on the altars long, like there was some digging in this place last night. Because if you stay on that altar long enough and you're sincere enough, God will start talking to you.
He will. That is right.
And there are a lot of people that don't like to be talked to. There are a lot of people that don't like to be told what to do, but God will talk with you. And He'll tell you some things you need to do. And but on that altar, when you say yes, Lord, and you surrender to God, man, what peace, what joy, when you're transfigured by the power of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Changed.
Transfigured. It happened while Jesus was praying that the change came. Transfigured while praying. I remember, we're fixing to pray here. But I remember I felt God calling me to Bible college. Had 2-year-old, had 1 3-month-old. Man, I wrestled with that thing. I had a full-time job. I was 29 years old. I'd gone to school, got a civil engineering degree. I was a superintendent and a project manager. Had my own truck, had my own office, own laptop. I mean, I had jobs going on. Had 3 jobs, one going on at DuPont. I mean, we were getting along good. I was teaching Sunday school, and God was thundering in my heart to go to Bible college. And I know that some of the greatest preachers I ever heard never went to Bible college. I know you don't have to, but I know what God was giving me to do. Amen. Amen. You know why? After all, when we got to Bible school, we weren't reading, Sports Illustrated. We weren't studying the New York Times. We studying the Bible. I'm talking about men that have been pastoring for 40 years. Men that have been out in the pine thickets praying. Sit up under a few of them, they can tell you something. That's all right, ain't it? But I remember when I was wrestling, I'd say, God, I ain't got the money. Say, God, I got a child, got a family. Lord, I can't go. I was giving God all the excuses. Man, I take my lunch. I got some meals, but I don't think my wife could hardly live with me. Man, I tell you, I couldn't sleep at night. God was just pressing on me. I just felt it. And you say, man, I don't believe it. You wasn't there. I was. I was the one pushing the place back. I was the one scratching and rolling in the mornings, crying and praying. I know why God was speaking to my heart. And it was in that altar. I told God, I don't normally do this. I don't think it's good to lay fleeces out. But I did. I got so desperate, Sister Judy, I laid a fleece out to God. My wife and I had acquired a little small house, a 20 by 40, 800 square feet, little old German-sided house. Wasn't much. She had a used vehicle. I had a used vehicle. And we put all our bills together. We owed $18,000. Just young, just married, couple of newborn kids. And I said, God, I can't leave owing this money. I said, I can't do it, God. I said, if you want me to go to Bible college, Lord, I said, you pay my bills off. And I said, I'll obey you. Man, I got up off of the altar in that church. I'd cried, spot wet on that pew. I got up, I'd made a deal with God. I walked out of that church feeling confident that I'd never be able to pay my bills off. I knew there wasn't no way. I had a plant manager to call me. They had a water problem out behind CSR where they made those RCP pipes for the underroad, the culvert there, the roads, and had an engineer call me and said, we want to do a plant expansion here. We got a pond of water belly here. He said, well, if you can do anything with it. And we carried the instruments out there, the transits. We shot grade, found that there was a creek about 4,500 yards through the woods, long way, man. And we had about a 7-foot drop. He said, here's the deal. He said, the closest price I've got, $30,000. He said, and we don't have it in the budget. Nobody will come up on it because there's such a risk. He said, you might lose your equipment in it. He said, but if you would do the job, he said, tell me what you'll do it for. I told him, I said, well, let me do the job. We'll just see where the money falls. Man, I dug that canal ditch way down through the swamp, taking them guns, sticking them up under that big Cat 330 track hole. Man, I was walking through that. I love running that track hole. Man, God help me. About a week and a half, I carried that canal all the way through, drained that pond. DHEC approved and all. At the end of 2 weeks, after I paid for the track hole rental for 2 weeks, the fuel, the help, all the equipment, I made $18,000 in 2 weeks. He said, boy, won't you come in this office here? He said, we fixing to lay some across the room rock here. He said, I want you to fill in around all the curves laid across the room, pour the concrete, apron fittings. I mean, we've been there looking at the blueprints, and man, I see them dollar signs going off in my head. I said, oh, yeah, baby, this is what I've been waiting on. I mean, we stayed there late. I called my wife. I said, man, it looks like we're fixing to make a little more money here. While I was on the way home from meeting with that engineer, God spoke to me and said, I did what you asked me to do. Now you're going to do what you said. I called my wife. I said, baby, if you'll go with me, we got to leave for Bible college in about 2 weeks. I told my boss man, he said, man, tell me what you want, more money. He said, I'm busting. He said, I was making about $20 an hour. He said, I'll take you to $25 an hour. He said, come on. He said, well, anything you want. Yeah, I said, it's not you. I said, it's God. Now, I parked that company truck, man, turned in my computer. Stood out there beside the highway, man. I felt like a wretch, man. I felt like I knew I had 2 kids at home. I knew I had a wife to take care of. Here I was standing out beside the road, out of job. I mean, didn't know which way to go. I knew God called me. But I remember standing out there on the edge of that road waiting on my wife to pick me up. Remember the peace of God flooding my soul. Hallelujah to God. I tell you what, you know where it happened? It happened on an altar of prayer. God changed my heart. He took care of us for 4 years. That little brown-headed girl was born in Missouri. She's a Missourian. Praise God. Those times I didn't know how he was going to make her. Send her people send checks in the mail. I'm telling you, God's faithful. If you pray on the altar, he'll make a way. Hallelujah to God. But you got to pray. And while you pray, he'll change your life. He'll change your attitude. He'll change your direction. He'll put you on the straight and narrow. He'll help you fulfill the will that he has for your life. But it only happens while you, young people, pray, and God will lead you. He'll guide you. I want everyone to make our way to this altar and say, God, I want you to transform me tonight while I pray. I want you to change me right now. Everyone in the world, let's come and pray. If you don't want to be changed, just stay where you are. The more let God change you tonight, let him transform you. While you pray, let God do a work in your life. Hallelujah.
Christ has set me free. There's been a change.
Lord.
A change in me. There's been a change in me. Change in me. I am not the one I used to be. Oh, things have passed away. Christ set me free. There's been a change in me. Oh, that old man you knew before, he's gone forevermore, covered by the blood shed on Calvary. I am a brand new man, been touched by God's own hand. There's been a change in me.